Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback episode number 373. As this week, we bring you the second hour of WCW Halloween Havoc 1992. Hello, you people. I'm Pat McNeil. Happy Halloween. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on extended medical leave. Filling in for him this week is our friend Shane Shadows, host of Classic Indies with Shane Shadows on YouTube. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1992, and spin the wheel and make the deal?
I'm absolutely looking forward to the opportunity of spinning the wheel and making the deal here on the Wayback Playback.
All right. Now, those of you who tuned in last week are wondering where Sarah Knight is, because she was going to do this. They changed Sarah's work schedule, and she couldn't make it. She sends her regrets. But we get to bring in Shane here, and hopefully you're watching Shane's YouTube channel and following Classic Indies with Shane Shadows. Although I don't think any footage of Spike Callahan's been on it for a few weeks, but there's been some good stuff on there.
It's been a little while since we managed to have the Spikester on there, but we do have a lot of great stuff. In the coming weeks, you're going to get to see, this current week, there was an 8-man tag team action from the Universal Independent Wrestling. It was based in Baltimore in 1991,
right,
which featured Cactus Jack, Axel Rotten, Neil the Power Superior, and others. And in the coming weeks, we're going to hit some unique Savoldi ICW.
Ooh.
So we found that some classic Savoldi television that was just too good to not put on in 10 and 15 minute increments. So,
is Curly Moe involved?
No, we didn't see Curly Moe, but we did in fact see Mr. Pogo.
Oh, well, hey.
SD Special Delivery Jones.
Of course.
Crusher. I don't know. There was some kind of Russian guy who I had never heard of.
Crusher Yurkov?
No. Okay. Wasn't Crusher Yurkov.
All right. Well,
Kablinski or...
Crusher Kablinski, okay.
It was something.
All right. Well, going over the worldwide podcast rankings this week. This week we were down in Canada and Australia, but we're blazing a new trail in India, where we jumped back up again. And thank you very much for that. Thank you for increasing our rankings on the wrestling podcast fronts, and in the sports and leisure podcast categories in America and elsewhere around the world. So that's
very
good.
Very important to be in the sports, even up in the leisure and sports categories.
That's right. Those of you who are subscribed on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. If you haven't, we're going to try to do something with Shane this week. Last week, we finished a special bonus watch along where Sarah and I did an hour of primetime wrestling from 1986 and capped off by Ray Rougeau versus Bret Hart. So that was fun.
Kind of hard to beat Bret Hart during that era. I mean, as good as he was as world champion, I mean, he was, pardon the expression, excellent in 1986 with the Hart Foundation.
Yes, and if you want to advertise, either contact us through the Patreon or just send money. It's really, there's ways to do that too. It's really quite simple. Anyway, let's see. Happy Halloween, Shane.
Happy Halloween, Patrick.
Yes. All right. Shane giving up watching the World Series to record with us. What a guy. All right. Now, let's see. Oh, yes. All the cultural stuff we do. So it is October 25, 1992. And Shane, you'll be thrilled to know that the New York Times bestsellers on that day. In fiction, it is The Tale of the Body Thief by Anne Rice. I can't say I ever read that, but it's apparently its first week at number one. And nonfiction, The Way Things Ought to Be by the late Rush H. Limbaugh III, in its fifth week at number one.
I would have thought it was the Satanic Verses by Salman Rushdie, but maybe that was a couple years earlier.
No, I just go by what I pull off the New York Times charts. I don't worry about it. Number one song on the Billboard charts on this date, October 25th, 1992. Do you want to hazard a guess? Jim Valley's the expert at this because he's a former DJ. But
I think it's Crisscross Jump.
It is actually in its 11th week at number one, End of the Road by Boys to Men.
I don't even know that song.
I swear to God, if I played it, you'd recognize it. You just wouldn't be interested, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Okay.
Wow. Way to hit those high notes too.
Thank you. That's what I did.
I don't recognize that one, but is there a top 10 listing there that has Chris Cross and Jump in it?
I'm sure there is. Top movie in the country on this date. It is a classic.
My wife's singing it as she's walking into the house. It's Chris Cross to make you jump, jump. Daddy, well, hey. Make you jump, jump.
All right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. What was your...
No, that's okay. Top movie in the country. I'm sure you remember this one. Under Siege, starring Steven Seagal and Erica Alaniak as Miss June.
Okay. So. Under
Third
Siege,
week at number one.
I can buy that. I was going to go with Robin Hood, Fresh Prince of Tides, but...
Yeah, well, thank you. All right. Let's see. Top news story on this date. Lithuania, now that they're not part of the Soviet Union, is holding a vote on whether they're going to have a new constitution. Let's see. Also, if you are, for whatever reason, not watching Halloween Havoc, you might be watching Sunday Night Football on TNT. We're in week 8 of the 1992 NFL season. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Kansas City Chiefs. Your coaches are Bill Cowher and Marty Schottenheimer, legends both.
Matt Marty.
Yep. The Steelers roll into Kansas City, beat the Chiefs 27-3. Ron Woodson had a 80-yard punt return for a TD, and the Steelers hold the legendary Dave Craig to 82 yards passing.
Absolutely.
9 of 27 for 82 yards passing and 3 interceptions. Don't worry, folks. Both teams made the playoffs in 1992.
That was Cowher's rookie year, wasn't it?
I think you're right, yeah. If it wasn't, it was close to it. Meanwhile, Game 6 of the World Series was the previous night in Atlanta on October 24th. The Toronto Blue Jays win 4-3 in 11 innings to become world champions.
I remember that.
The Braves, believe it or not, had John Smoltz as a pinch runner on third base. He was the tying run with two out, bottom of the 11th. Otis Nixon tries for the second sacrifice bunt of the evening, and that one doesn't work. Mike Timlin made the save for the Blue Jays. Yep.
I do remember that.
And while we're doing the timeout, Sarah and I might as well do the commercial. You know, Sarah, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/WaybackPlayback, where we have every episode of Wayback Playback, and we're up to episode 372 now, including other episodes with Sarah on them. Congratulations, people. Yes, now...
You can find all two of those.
Yes, well, I think there were more than two of those. But, one of the best parts about it is that not only do you get all the episodes, including the episodes that are behind a paywall, which you can't get to any other way, which we made a deal with Pro Wrestling Torch to get those. And thank you to Wade Keller, and subscribe to Wade Keller's site. And love yourself some Pro Wrestling Torch, by the way. Besides all that, you get the episodes in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed, and you get them without any commercials on them, which
unlike
I don't like.
My Peacock subscription.
Unlike your Peacocks, because I paid for the full Peacock, so.
My Peacock came free with my really expensive Comcast.
Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah. Well, Comcast Comcast owns Peacock. They're owned by the same company, so that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, and that's great. But
so when it stops working in the middle of the video, we'll know.
Right. Well, we'll hit pause when that happens. But that's the deal. You get all that, plus you get bonus watch-alongs, like the one I did with John Paz, which is an hour of Global Wrestling Federation. That's up. That's a full watch along. Jim Valley and I have some bonuses up, including the Pro Wrestling USA show from February 1985, the Japanese feed from that. We did that, stuff that's on YouTube. Sarah and I are going to hopefully finish one after we get done here. We're going to finish that episode of Primetime Wrestling, which was so thrilling that we started together back in the day. And hey, you can
remind me what it is.
What's that? Oh, yes. Actually, the main event for that we have two more matches to cover, the last of which is, get ready for this, Raymond Rougeau versus Bret Hart.
Ooh.
Yes. Surprisingly not awful, I know. Check that out. That's all on patreon.com/waybackplayback. There's multiple tiers to subscribe to. But with any, no matter what your subscription is, you get the archives. You get all 372 episodes, which is neat. We thank you for subscribing. And this helps keep the show going, which we really need right now. So thank you. I thank you. Jim Valley thanks you. Sarah even thanks you, even though she doesn't know why she's thanking you. But
Thank you
for being a part of the Wayback Playback experience, and thank you for listening to the show. Okay, so we are set to go. We're at 53 minutes and 57 seconds. Sarah and I had just got done with Nikita Koloff and Big Van Vader, and that's where we pick up. I've got Jesse and JR at the announce table. JR has his fingers tented and is looking off screen. Shane, are you close to that?
Yes.
So we're going to hit play together.
Seconds.
All right.
Now I went too far. See, it always works. Okay, Nikita. Okay, replay's just done. Vader just pinned Nikita. Here comes the Battle Bowl commercial.
Battle Bowl ad is right after the Battle Bowl ad. Okay.
Yeah, there it is.
So we're hearing everybody.
Partial proceeds to benefit the Starlight Foundation.
That's excellent. And how much is going to benefit the Human Fund?
Yeah, money for people. Yeah. I tell you, I have a Human Fund T-shirt.
Oh, good.
I had it autographed by Jay Peterman at a Frederick Keys game.
Wow. All right. Okay, so. And let's see. It looks like Jesse and JR are set up right in front of the sign for section 116.
I got them and they're rolling.
All right. So we're going to hit play together, everybody, in 3, 2, 1. All right. Yep. Okay. Jesse's happy. JR's happy. Terry Gordy's not here. He wanted to get paid what he'd been promised, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, so. There was a lot of problems in Atlanta during that period with this. This is one of the big problems with the Cowboy Bill Watts administration was that they were bringing in guys, but the money wasn't coming through like they.
Well, Bill Watts was brought in to cut costs, and
they had a lot of talent here.
Yep, that Dexter Loomis guy behind Jesse's not looking. Looks way too happy. Let's see. All right.
I'm into the interview here with Teddy Long. I might be a step or two ahead of you.
No, I've got that too. They've just gotten off the hayride, evidently, and Teddy's interviewing them.
Yeah. It's Steve Williams tag teaming with Steve Williams there tonight, ladies
I know.
And gentlemen. And what may be the only time this has ever happened in pro wrestling history.
Well, I know this is the only time we've ever seen this combination.
I had no recollection of this match when you told me this is what we were doing tonight. I have zero recollection of this match.
Have you rewatched it yet? Because I haven't. I remember this match though.
No, because I turned it on last night in anticipation of recording this last night and played it for an hour.
Yeah, and we had the technical difficulties.
We had all the technical problems. So now we're we're rolling. Didn't rewatch it, and this is the same way I do my own show. Is I just like to. Know that it's coming, know what the match is most of the time, but I don't watch it. I don't like to anticipate.
Right.
There's no, that means what you need to know.
Yes. All right. Missy Hyatt.
Looking quite good.
Yes. Oh, yes.
This is Barry when he still cared.
Yeah. Dustin and Barry have had their issues, but they're ready to defend the tag team titles tonight.
Yeah, a couple weeks after this will be the Clash, and that's when they break up, as I recall.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
No, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, between, the ensuing...
If you're going to sit through this, you're probably going to sit through and watch the Clash anyway, so...
You know what's funny? Between the date of this and the Clash, which I think was like the 15th or 16th, was my first night of wrestling school.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because I remember coming home, I think actually I came home from my very first night of wrestling school and watched that Clash.
As clashes go, that wasn't a bad one.
It wasn't a great one. That one, I think, but didn't Missy box Paul and?
No, Medusa. That was Medusa.
That one.
Getting to that. We're getting to that in this hour, folks.
The 18. Doc's in the ring now, looking big.
All right, there's Doc, and there's Stone Cold, and ready to go. And referee Randy Pee-wee Anderson.
Stone Cold Stunning. And here they come, the tag team champions, ladies and gentlemen. Unified.
The champions of the world, having just recently captured the titles from Doc and Gordy.
Yes.
On TV, no less.
Yes, indeed, on Saturday night. Yes.
Another great match.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That one I remember.
Yep.
But maybe there was so much chaos going on around WCW around this time during the administration. And
there's another one we'll get to, time permitting, yes. There's another issue, time permitting, that we'll get to involving the TV title. which is yes. Okay, anyway, yep, duck, there we go. What a crazy idea, putting up the graphics, you know, like that.
Yeah, explaining who guys are and their way. You give them a little table, the tape, a little bit of an idea of what's going on. Yeah. Barry always had a tendency to wear bangs. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, I guess he did. Well, Austin's wearing, yeah, I don't know what the hell that is, the Marilyn Quayle haircut or whatever. I don't know what that was supposed to be.
Early 90s. I like the way they shot this. I like the shot from above, kind of at an angle. I like that.
Yeah, because we were discussing this last week, and Sarah's like, I've never seen that. I haven't seen that shot. And I'm like, well, you know, she's a youngin', so I understand that.
Yeah. Oh, Doc's going in for the aggressively coming in. We're going to see. Dustin was
Dustin
was
and Duck
on the ride.
Yeah, look how young Dustin is.
Yeah, oh, my Lord, yes. And you know what? He looked good the other night.
Oh, yeah.
I watched him and Daniel Bryan because it takes something special to get me to watch current stuff, but I wanted to see that match just because
yeah, absolutely.
Two guys I like a lot. It was a damn good match.
There you go.
Snatching that head.
I mean, of these four guys, I mean, well, I guess it's not as really surprised that Dustin's the one with the longevity, but I, you know, you weren't expecting Dustin to be around 29 years later, though.
Yeah, shooting him off. Big tackle, nothing. Yep. Another tackle, nothing again. Dustin, you got to
and
up
I mean,
a little bit.
And if there's one thing that Jim Ross loves, it's calling Steve Williams matches.
Absolutely. I don't think
that's
Doc got enough credit.
Yeah.
I mean, he was obviously a big his style was definitely suited better for international competition than what the United States was during that era, for sure. Mm. But Doc was the real deal.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I'm a senior at Clemson in the spring of 92, and my buddies and I go to the TV taping in nearby Anderson, South Carolina, and that's where they decide to bring, you know, that's where Doc and Gordy are on a break from Japan, and they bring them in and shoot like four squash matches with them all, you know, and it's like, holy crap, Doc, you know, these guys are coming into WCW?
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't know for sure that they were coming in, and Watts hadn't agreed to come in yet. I guess that was a done deal after that. But they just like decided, okay, we're going to bring you guys in and, you know, and you're going to shoot all this stuff with you. And then if, you know, if you decide to sign, then we'll have all these in the can and we do, you know, and we'll have all these in the can to air while you're in Japan working, which was actually smart. So.
Yeah, see, and back then, I mean, for you youngins who maybe aren't familiar, All Japan and New Japan were a lot of Americans worked there, but they were working there in month and 6 week tours at a clip. But in between time, they were still working in the United States, where a lot of times with the current situation, everyone wasn't always inked up exclusively to a company during this year. A lot of these different groups worked together. A little, little do-si-do action there, Barry cranking up on that arm. Barry and Doc had that very interesting Starrcade 87 matchup. Maybe.
Yeah. We did see it with Starrcade 87. Actually, I think it's on the feed. When Jim and I did that, or if not, you can. All the episodes are in the Patreon, as Shane well knows. So.
Yeah. Starrcade 87, of course, which led the league in subtitled nicknames.
Oh yes.
Starrcade 1987, Chi-Town Heat, True Grit, Glory Bound.
Yeah, or whatever it was. Yeah.
It was something like that.
It's like the old Ring of Honor shows. Well, we're gonna watch Ring of Honor, Dishonor of
Part Four. Yeah. I just heard Ring of Honor got bought by AEW today.
Really?
Someone just shot that to me 15, 20 minutes before we went on the air, and he said,
"Well, Sinclair isn't." John Paz is one of our guys. He does a podcast with Levy Margolin, who was been on Twitter talking about how Sinclair is in financial trouble.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. They had more money than Jesus not too long ago. So
you know, they had the problem with that show got to be, and I still record it to this day, I just don't watch it very often, is like all their top talent left all pretty much at once. Not unlike a lot of the other promotions from the 80s.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, that happens.
And they could never get back on their feet. I mean, I know a guy, a friend of mine, who actually works in production for Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he, of course, he swears by it because, I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to be able to get guys over. And I just don't think that they had the ability to Oh, good dropkick from Dustin.
Dustin's. Yeah, there we go.
Looking good. Now here's the first.
You're a few seconds ahead of me, but that's bucks. Okay. Yeah. Dustin looking great. Okay, and here comes Stone Cold or Stunning Steve or.
I'm about 3 seconds ahead of you, I think.
Yeah, you are. That's okay. There we go. That's okay. You'll get a commercial or something to leaven it out.
Yeah.
All right. And there we go.
Didn't really see much of that because now, see if we're back together here because the Dustin Austin exchange doesn't last but a lockup.
Yep. There's Barry. All right.
These two had good matches during this
era. Oh, gosh. They
Barry and Austin traded the TV title.
Over the TV title. Yeah.
I mean, I tell you what, that era of WCW doesn't get nearly the credit that it probably deserves for the quality of its in-ring performance.
But yeah, the in-ring was great. It was chaotic, but you know.
Yeah, they weren't drawing worth a shit. And then they brought in Cowboy, and then it started to change a little bit because, right. You know. But during the era, like the early late 91, early 92 still wasn't, era.
It was only, up. I mean, even under Bill Watts, it only drew in a couple towns.
Yeah,
Philly being one of them, he brought Philly back.
Yeah, the sad part is, and now a little pinball action here with the future Stone Cold.
Yep, there you go.
Barry could still move. Barry was so good.
Yeah,
Jesus, Barry.
I think he tore up his knee that one time, and that was pretty much it for you know.
Yeah, I mean he gets hurt around. I mean he had a good match with Muda in February. It's a super brawl.
Yeah. But I was there. Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple months later, I mean, he's back on the shelf and then you don't see him for a year, but he came back as the mystery opponent for Flair.
Yes, I remember 94. That. That's nice. Slam Breen 94, kids.
Yeah. And he had gained 50 pounds and I don't think he's ever the same again. It was just never the same.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. Barry was just one of these guys who was just so, he was naturally big, but well, the funny part is like, here he's starting to thicken up, but all the way up until probably a year or so before this, I mean, Barry just looked—he was tall, but he looked like a beanpole. Mm. It's funny watching back some of these old matches when you see the guys who the perception was they weren't big enough or thick enough or whatever, and just seeing how absolutely god darn huge they are compared to the guys today. Again, not a knock; it's just an observation.
No, it's just the way it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't look that big, but part of that, I mean, it's a height difference, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Stone Cold's the small guy in this match in terms of height, I think, or maybe Doc, but they're both 6'2". You know, they're both 6'2". Mm-hmm. Dustin's 6'5", Barry's 6'5", 6'6". I mean, even look at the guys under, before this, it was a heavyweight business.
Yes, it was.
It was absolutely a heavyweight business, and I think that's what. Oh, nice duck.
Well, you know, I mean, you look at WWE; they have Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley, and it's still kind. I mean, and Big E, and it's still kind of a heavyweight business. I mean,
I would.
Obviously the women's division not so much, but you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you look over on the other channel, who are the guys who are working on top?
Oh, Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega and Sammy Guevara and Lucha Brothers,
It's a mixture. Yeah, it's a mixture, but I mean they got smaller.
Right, but I mean at least you know, but I mean both those promotions definitely have an identity, and I think it's great that the identities are different from each other. For crying out loud!
Yeah,
we got denied that for a while.
Yeah, I mean everything should. There's some things I like on both shows. Block that monkey flip in the corner coming in. Inside out clothesline.
A lot of that stuff that you don't get in 2021 wrestling here.
Yeah. Yep. They don't wrestle like this anymore.
Right.
And that's unfortunate because I think that I think that what guys think now, like they call it strong style, which is just beating the piss out of each other.
Yeah, well, that's not new exactly.
Yeah, that's not new, but this is pro wrestling as it under it appears to be a competitive. We're fighting for something here.
Right. I mean, and they had guys who could beat the piss out of each other. Saw Vader and Nikita Koloff, for crying out loud.
Oh yeah, that one that was brutal. I tell you what, I. I don't know what was harder to look at. Watching Vader just basically try to no-sell everything that Nikita did or Nikita's tights. Jesus.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Were they ever small?
There's that.
Like, drop toe hold on Doc. Riding over.
There we go. All right. There we go. Ah, Barry.
A lot of jostling here. A lot of jostling in the corner, but now it's.
But you know, of all the hints they've dropped about issues between Dustin and Barry, you're not seeing them here.
You haven't seen it in the match.
Well-oiled, not yet. No. Yeah. And I mean, and Doc and Austin are working well together for two guys who've never tagged before.
Good. Look at the way Doc's selling these punches from Barry.
Oh yeah.
Tremendous.
There you go. Yeah, and Jesse's going nuts. Jesse's like, yeah, Jesse's impressed. When Jesse's impressed, he lets you know.
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't impress easily.
No, he does not.
As he told us millions of times.
Right.
Dropkick from the doctor.
Mm-hmm. He was very, very, I mean, very underrated, if you know.
Absolutely. I watched everything, but I was in particular a World Championship Wrestling fan.
Yeah,
because I mean, I was I was a fan of everything at one level or another.
But yeah, I was too. But I mean, in this era, you know, I mean, WWF, they had their guys. You know, they had their guys that you didn't want to miss their big matches. But you know, that wasn't the whole roster.
Correct, and they were going through a transition. Hogan was gone. Yeah. They were trying to right around this time, probably just a week or two earlier, they decided to make the move to Bret Hart. And you know,
Bret Hart, and then they had Shawn Michaels get the Intercontinental title, and I mean that was definitely a shift in the way they were doing business.
Absolutely, and nobody's drawing gangbusters during this era either. I mean, we've had some controversies with.
I mean, yeah,
this has gotten out publicly. Big suplex.
This is WCW's big money show in terms of what they drew and the pay-per-view of the second half of 92. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah. And then I watched them all, and I think the previous pay-per-view to this was the Great American Bash, which was a tag team tournament, which was, you know, I thought it was a little bit, I mean, I enjoyed it back then, but...
That's one of the shows that we put up for vote every so often. It keeps losing the vote, so we haven't done it yet.
You haven't done it yet because it's like no one knows enough about it. It's a lot of unusual.
Well, I don't.
Sleeper by Barry.
Our listeners surprise us every so often, Shane.
I think that's good.
But I this one I'm not surprised at one. I mean, I maybe a little at the time, but you know,
spinning the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm more surprised that Michael Saget suggested it and said okay. Yeah, that's a win.
Doc's agility here at this point is surprising to me. Again, I haven't watched this match. I know I watched it like the night that it took place when I was at my friend Dave Albright's house, but I haven't watched it since. Doc's agility is impressive for a guy his size.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Yep. No, I copy. Yeah. I mean, I copied the tape and I, you know, watched it. Yeah. I mean, I remember going back and watching this match again and actually watching Havoc again.
Because
I was a glutton for punishment back then, but you know.
Yeah, this wasn't one of their better outings overall.
But I mean, it's not bad. It's not the it's not what the Wrestling Observer was going to call it, like was comparing to Bash 91 for crying out loud.
Well, that was a bad card.
Yeah, there were things that didn't work, and we'll see those next week. So, but
you see these wrestling holds?
Yeah. I do. I
mean, it's hard for me to call what this really is, but I mean, this is just old style ancient amateur wrestling.
Going for it, basically, call it a 3/4 Nelson. Nobody's gonna complain if you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big slam on Barry.
Yep.
Austin was a stud. Big
They could work. They could. I mean, all these guys could do holds. You know.
Oh, absolutely. It was such a big part of what wrestling was during this era.
And you want to be able to do holds, even if it's not your bag, you want to be able to, to go when necessary.
We still were not outwardly trying to, even if the people who knew what it was or what it wasn't, still weren't outwardly trying to expose what it was or what it wasn't.
Unless you're Vince doing it for tax reasons, but that's another story.
Vince,
WCW was not you know, Bill Watts was not out to expose the business. Let's just say that.
Yeah, like the cowboy wasn't going to tell everybody what it was.
Right.
He wanted, this was his kind of work. I mean, this is very similar to, this is what you're seeing here in this match is a hybrid of the Crockett organization and a hybrid of Mid-South Sports. The ring style, a little bit of high spots, but not overdoing it. And that's what, one of the things I don't think that everybody ever understood about Watts was barring the top rope moves. He wasn't trying to bar them. He was trying to put mystery back into them. You could also, when you put mystery back into something, you could use it as a controversial finish. You know, a guy came off the top rope illegally and pinned a guy.
Right.
That type of stuff.
But people pointed to it as a sign that, you know, the business had passed Bill Watts by.
Sure. And you know, I can understand that to a degree. But, I mean, when you fast forward at almost 30 years here, where it's so hard to get, it's so hard to do finishes, and people fart at anything that even breaches like a disqualification or a count out or something controversial.
Well, because when do people get disqualified? Or, you know, people only get disqualified if you're doing a stupid, if you're, you know, you'll have months where people don't get disqualified. And then suddenly if they need a screwy finish, they pull out a DQ.
Yeah. And that's the way people think of it, except for when you think about it, when do people get disqualified? Well, in real sports, people get ejected, people get thrown out, people
that's
get out
true.
Of hand, and then
well God forbid we make wrestling look like a real sport.
Nah, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Barry fighting his way out of a superplex here by boom, poo.
Well, the irony of Austin going for a superplex on Barry, of course.
Yes.
Because that's Barry's signature there. Yeah.
Yeah, big clothesline off the top. That's it. And a two. This is good work. I like this. I'm glad we're doing this match, buddy.
Yeah.
This is a good
I remember this match being very good.
Yeah.
And you know, it's pointed out, the crowd wasn't into it. Well, okay. You know,
I mean, different crowds are gonna
If you wanna see something the crowd's not into, wait till the next match.
His next match is Sting and Jake?
No, next match is Chono and Rude.
Oh yeah. I vaguely remember that because Chono did a lot of fire here.
Yeah, because Chono's working with a badly damaged neck, and you know, they must have known it.
Thing, right?
Yeah, and they must have known about it because Chono had come in and worked house shows. You know, and he's really not taking anything.
And Dustin hasn't missed a step in this one.
No.
Two breaking up.
I mean, Dustin was so good, so young.
Oh, he absolutely was.
And people held, you know, and people held against him that he's Dusty's son, which I understand, but you know.
Well, that's was ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I know, but you know, but I mean, Dusty, you know, Dusty pushed him, and you know, maybe if it's your kid, you push a little harder than you would for somebody else, like say Bill Watts did for Eric Watts.
Right. Well, yeah. I think there was a disparity there in the talent level.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I've interviewed Eric Watts, nice enough guy. You know, I want all the best for him. Yeah. I don't think Eric Watts has any misconceptions about how talented he is compared to, you know, say a Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah. But I think that's where his dad kind of came up a little short. I mean, I understand wanting to push a college athlete, you could make all the legitimate.
And Eric's a legitimate, you know. I mean, he's not a wuss. He's a legitimate tough guy, you know.
Yeah, and he, what is Eric now? Like 50, 52?
Yeah.
He wasn't all that much older than us. But
no, he wasn't.
I mean, he wasn't ready for the spot.
But yeah, if you're going to put him out there and have him, you know, and have him beat like an, yeah, have him be able to beat like an Arn Anderson or Bobby Eaton, you're going to expect some backlash.
Yeah. And that's what he was doing every night too. Yeah. And he was working and they were good guys for him to work with, to learn from, but he shouldn't have been. And you're going to get some pushback. Like you said,
they were in Columbia. Let's see. Yeah. I was in Columbia, South Carolina. And, I forget when the tour was that they rolled in, but they had the Japanese guys in, and Eric Watts and Kazuki Sasaki had to do a 15-minute draw, which was, you know.
Oh, wow.
Which was, then, it was okay. It wasn't spectacular, but, yeah.
They, I mean, I don't think that Eric's fundamentals were bad or anything.
No.
What are we, Austin going for a power bomb here? Backbreaker?
He did. He was able to, he did stuff like that. Yeah, before his back, and neck got messed up, Austin was, you know, a lot more.
He was a tremendous worker.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great when he was.
I mean, he's still,
too,
yeah.
But
it's a different, He had changed. Different. He had to adjust his style a whole lot. Yeah.
Absolutely. What are we going for here? Oh, backdrop. Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go. Up.
Bridge. That's impressive when you're pulling a guy 6'5" up on you.
Yeah,
like
I mean, we talked about Wyndham and Austin having good matches. Dustin Rhodes and Steve Austin had a whole bunch of good, really good matches.
Absolutely, they did. Absolutely, they did.
And it was a feud they'd go back to, you know, every so often. They'd go back and have them, you know, fight each other. Yeah.
Well, they had a pretty good match at Starrcade 93, I think.
They did. They really
underneath
did.
Flair and Vader.
Yeah, I mean, you don't remember a lot of what was underneath Flair and Vader, but yeah. Which, by the way, is a show we've never done, listeners, if you want to suggest it, Starrcade 93. We've done a bunch of Starrcades, but not that one.
I always watch a Starrcade, one of the old Starrcades on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, oh, that's right. Our Thanksgiving episode is coming up. What did we do last year for Thanksgiving? Oh, for last year of Thanksgiving, because we didn't have Jim, Lodi and I did a Christmas Star Wars, I think. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, but that actually was a good time. Yeah. You talking about like world class?
Yeah. Normally the Thanksgiving episode is Jim and I doing like a Saturday night's main event. So.
I got you.
Yeah. But I'll find somebody to do it, and we'll have a fun Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, I like to watch those early Survivor Series or a Starrcade. Yeah. I usually try to rotate it every year, so I'm not like watching the exact same one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what a good time that stuff was. I mean,
yeah.
The thing about it, I mean, that's what wrestling used to be. You could really genuinely look forward to certain. Anniversaries, right. Or certain holidays, or certain times that were just, you know, I mean, we still
Survivor Series. Survivor Series was just fun. You know?
Yes, look at Dustin just firing them in there. And Austin with a cutoff there. Mm-hmm. Well done. Dustin took too much beating because of his dad. Yeah. But I mean,
right?
You're not going to get me to say a whole lot bad about Dusty.
No,
you know?
No, I know you're not.
Yeah.
God rest you.
I know. A fabulous talent, you know, and you could say he kept himself on top too long. Maybe he did.
There's a lot of bookers you can say that about.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But at least little Doc just pounding that eye, trying to open it up.
To
open it up. Hey, over there, you see over there in the front row of the crowd? That's Hat Guy.
Yep.
ECW Hat Guy, John.
A little early, but he made it. Yep.
Yeah, he managed me on a number of occasions on independent shows. He's a cool cat.
Okay, good. Another legend,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean that earlier there's a bunch of fans that you only see at major pay per views in this era.
Who
made the rounds, yeah.
That one guy who I think that WWE honored this past year, you see him on here too.
Yeah, I know.
I forget his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Holding on to that leg. Dustin's trying to get away because they've been pounding on the side of his head, trying to open him up. He is bleeding a little bit, but I mean, they're not.
Right. Yeah. There we go. Okay. Can they keep? Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can keep Dustin in the ring. Yep.
Well, this is a fun match because you're getting really two sets of heat. And you're going to get two hot tags.
Right.
Which is hard. It's a lot harder to deliver that because you got to be able to bring people up and bring them, settle them back down and bring them back into it. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. I've had a lot of conversations with guys over the years. I said, you know, generally speaking, once you hit your hot tag, unless you guys really got something special going on, you need to wrap this thing up in about a minute. Otherwise, you're totally going to lose them and you're not going to get them back.
It is kind of a lost art.
Absolutely, it is.
Mm-hmm. I remember a couple tag matches we were involved where we lost the art too. So you know.
Yeah, we from the word go.
Yeah.
We didn't lose the art. We didn't have it.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Oh God. I think the one night I had to fill in for Brian DiRigo. That was one right there. If I'm wrestling in a tag match, you know there's a problem right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did that famous one with you and the combat and Muhammad Kane against me and Handsome Jimmy.
That was designed
that way.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
it pretty much went the way we laid it out. I mean,
yeah, it held up.
Yeah.
It held up. I saw it here a year ago. I'll probably end up doing it on Classic Indies one day just for the shit of it. Because it's a fun match, and the camera works pretty decent quality, which is always a big bonus on these type of shows.
Good job, Brian.
Yep. Yes. Brian, if you're listening, I'd still love to have all the CPW tapes.
I would, too.
I would desperately love to be able to make the copies of those.
I need to send you some tapes, too. So, anyway. That's another story.
Yeah, I'd love to have some of that old stuff because I... You know, the way I figured with doing a 15-minute show every week, just featuring different matches from different years of the independent circuit, I could do this show forever, you know.
Well, I can do this show. I mean, Jim and I could do this show forever,
I mean, it's
not
it's
like
all
we're going to run out of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm just trying to focus on, like, relatively regional independent shows. You know, I would never run out of material.
Oh gosh, I mean, even with the crappy way they've been updating the network, they just threw on like six Madison Square Garden shows from 84 just for fun.
I watched the other day was the one from February 86 at Boston. What a card.
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ, what a card. And you know what's funny is I was looking up the results on the History of WWE website,
which I do a lot, but historyofwwe.com.
They were in Philadelphia the same night with the other half of the crew, and combined between those two different house shows, probably drew about 35,000 people total.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
On the same night.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
And that's how over it was. It's like that Boston card's great. It's Bruno and Piper in the cage is the main event. It's the night Savage beat Tito for the Intercontinental title, and then there's a martial arts match between Steamboat and Morocco and. Who was it? The Hearts against.
Bulldogs
and Bees, maybe. It was great.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe they worked a little harder because they knew they were getting televised. But, you know, I mean, still, it's the same stuff they were doing every night. That's the crazy part.
And they were working hard and everybody was over.
That's the big thing
because you can have good talent or you can have over talent or you can have good over talent, and Vince had a lot of everything, but he kind of lost that. It's like people talk about how great Vince was as a creator
he stopped caring about everything but his top guys.
Yeah, but you got to remember during his first real hot run, he didn't develop any of those guys. Those guys had come off the road of working everywhere and drawing money. Oh, there we go,
over the top rope. And the referee didn't see it. Well, you know.
Pee-wee's been knocked out
here. Oh, there we go.
Here's our substitute ref, Mike Atkins. Is it Joe Hamilton?
Yeah, I think
Nick Patrick. I'm sorry.
We'll see here. I usually tell by the. Yeah, got to wait until I see his face to be sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Nick Patrick.
Yeah, that is.
And we've.
No wait.
Wait a minute.
New champions. Wait a minute. Oh no, Brad. Randy Anderson says nope.
So what was the purpose of sending in the ref? The crowd jumped to its feet. Thought it saw a title change. What was the purpose of sending the other ref in if Randy was just going to wave it off like that? We're rolling.
No, it's only two. It's only two. That was only two.
Oh, okay.
That second pinfall was only a two. So they're still going.
Okay, and Doc and Barry fighting it on the floor while Dustin and Steve battle in the ring of wicked clothesline. We have
They got everybody's attention, didn't they?
They brought everybody into it. 1:13 left on my clock.
Now you're ahead of me, but that's okay. All right.
We're battling Hammer and Tom here.
How can you reverse? Yeah, Jesse's upset that. I mean, is this the finish they were going to do anyway? If Gordy was there, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was.
Probably the next two or three nights at TV, the Hollywood Blondes are born.
Yep. But they had worked together, yes, but as a tag team. But now they're going to be a regular team.
Yeah, because I never really thought of Brian Pillman as a blonde. Oh, Tombstone on Steve Austin.
Yep, there we go. Oh, yeah.
The less famous Tombstone that was done on Steve Austin.
Yes. Well, Dustin did it without an issue.
Yeah, well, we all know what the problem was and how that was executed with the thing with Owen.
Yeah.
It's still one of the most devastating things I've ever watched.
Yeah.
I mean, in a wrestling match. And I remember even back then going, holy shit, how's he alive? Did we just do 20 or 30?
We just went 30. We just went 30 minutes.
Yeah, you didn't get a lot of 30-minute draws even back then on pay-per-view.
Yeah, on a pay-per-view, no. I mean... Okay, so if they did this finish with Doc and Gordy, they would have been continuing the feud, you would think.
Yeah, but I think they figured out that Gordy wasn't coming back.
Well, no.
Yeah. Both sets of belts handed back to the champions.
Both sets, the WCW and the NWA.
Yeah, like anybody thought they were separate.
No.
They were, well, but no one thought
If they did before, they didn't think so after Doc and Gordy had them both. I mean, it's an impressive visual, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
State Farm commercial time.
Oh, okay. Well, enjoy your State Farm commercial. Let's see here. Well, what do I got here? We'll get back. Okay, well, I'll hold up here because we got Paul Heyman and, Pauly Dangerously and Harley and Vader on the stage, so let me know.
13 seconds.
All right.
10,
sorry, people. We're paused at 129.34. At least I am.
6, 5, 4, 3.
There we go.
2,
okay, there we go. All right.
1.
Okay, and pay dirt. There we go. There All right, Vader's got a belt at the U.S. belt. There's Harley. And there's Pauly Dangerously.
Why is he at the U.S. belt? I don't remember this.
He was defending it for Rick Rude because Rick Rude's busy going after the NWA title. And what there was a yeah.
Okay.
How does that make sense? It doesn't. Just go with it.
Just go with it. I gotta tell you, Harley's looking a lot like Colonel Sanders here.
Yeah. Listen.
I like it. It would be funny how Harley would be blonde, then he'd almost have red hair with no mustache. And.
Yeah.
But I tell you what.
Whoa!
Uh oh.
What's Medusa?
Hi, Debbie.
I want to thank Mr. Harley.
Yeah. Mr. Bag. Stigger.
That's right. You.
Yeah, that was the big Pauly Medusa angle. Was like one was closer to Rick Rude, and the other one was Rick Rude's, such and such. And
all right. Yeah. Now this is when. As according to Meltzer, this is when he figured out that Paul's job was in danger because why are they having him do this otherwise?
Caught him with that whole scam with the airline tickets and all this kind of nonsense. Yeah.
Folks, in case you missed it, Paul Heyman was claiming he wanted to go back to New York every weekend, and WCW was sending him airline tickets, which Paul was then cashing out and hanging on to the money, you could do back then. But it's a no-no.
Yeah, corporately speaking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're basically taking. Yeah. Yeah. You're basically taking additional money from WCW and
Deuce looks real good here. Actually, she looked pretty good the other day when we saw her on that the thing with the Dark Side of the Ring with Luna.
And here we go. The other hooker I had in mind had previous obligations. Oh my.
We're gonna make her cry. See, I never bought into this angle.
Medusa
was always so tough. I didn't buy into this one at all.
I'm a woman. I mean, Paul's putting his heart into it.
I mean, Paul's trying. I mean,
He's giving it 100. It's a dumb idea. He's putting 110% behind it.
Hurting her feelings, she could whip his ass without thinking about it.
There we go.
Big fucking kick. Paul.
No matter how jaded Philly fans are, they were down for a little of this.
Yeah, here comes Doug Dillinger, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick.
Doug Dillinger.
Is that Ole?
Nah. Yeah. No, no, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I thought it was Ole.
Grizzly Smith.
I think that's Mike Graham with his back to us, so he always had a very impressive head of hair.
There we go. All right. Well, that was Mike Graham.
Paul's pissed. Like Grizzly Smith.
Yep.
8 feet tall.
Yep.
I used to love this stuff just so you could identify the agents.
Right.
Yeah.
Let her go. Yeah, right.
I'll fight her.
Let her go, then run away. There you go. That's how you do it. All right.
Yeah. This was the one show.
Really, they needed like another guy to haul Medusa off screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what that was missing. Jesse's very happy.
Yes. These two did not mix well together, though.
No.
Not as an announcing team. I don't think that these two. And they were both great. Obviously, Jim Ross is great. Jesse's great in his own way.
Yep.
Jesse Their styles, doesn't though. Hold up as well, looking back at it now. But this WCW run, Jesse was not particularly good at all.
He kind of let it be known he didn't care all that much. So they moved it. So they eventually moved him to Worldwide. I mean, and they when they brought in Heenan,
they moved him out.
Yeah.
He didn't like being on the secondary show.
But he was.
Ego. That's okay. I mean, that's ego. So it drives guys in this line of work. But
that's true.
Yeah, I've heard both these guys say at different times they didn't work well together. And Jim Ross.
All right. Now let's go up to Gary Capetta.
Oh man, it's time for.
There's a wheel that needs to be spun, Shane.
Yes. And our ring announcer from All Star Wrestling, Gary
Capetta. Yes. Yay.
Down.
There we go. Down. Yeah, the man called Sting.
I really enjoyed this Jake Roberts angle. I really did.
Yeah.
The way they introduced Jake and the way they did all that stuff and tied all those things together.
They did it.
Without a doubt, it was the highlight of the Cowboys' reign at WCW. Just the taking Sting out and putting Simmons in and how Sting came out and the people involved. But this was not a hit.
No, it wasn't.
About a week or two after this match, Jake's gone.
Yeah.
Never to return.
Pretty much. Okay.
That commercial was good there. The Halloween Havoc commercial was good because Medusa was all sluttied up in that dominatrix
the
gimmick.
Wheel, make the deal.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So of all the matches.
Yeah.
We do all the things. Prince of Darkness.
Of all the choices.
The Prince of Darkness match was like one of those matches that was so Jake. You know, putting a hood over his face. Him and Martel had a great blindfold match. That was
they did.
A piece of art.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Stinger.
Sorry. Oh, that's another. That's a completely different mini.
That's the White Castle of Fear, baby.
Yes.
All the burgers you can eat.
That's right. I would. Yeah, in a real White Castle competition, there's no way I beat Vader.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a White Castle fan. I love those things. Mm. You know, the frozen section.
I don't know. All right. Come on, Sting. Yeah.
He's intimidated.
Sting's looking over the options as if, as if, like, he has any control over it. So.
Yeah. You kind of about half-assed think that they were shooting with this thing.
Well, no, apparently it was a gimmicked wheel. I know, hard to believe.
Yeah. That's what you came up with.
It was gimmicked because they didn't want, they're in Pennsylvania and they don't want to legit do any of the, barbed wire stuff because, they got to deal with the, Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission. Don't want to run afoul of those people.
Yeah. I guess everyone knows the story, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think everyone knows the story of how it got like that? Because they had like that Philadelphia Great American Bash at Veterans Stadium and the Athletic Commissioner J.J. Benz was there for whatever reason. It was a big house. I mean, they drew, it was like a $200,000+ house for that bash tour. But Wahoo, everyone's bleeding up and down the card. It's like even in the preliminary.
Coal Miner's Glove.
Royal. Yes. Okay. Yes. So Nelson, Nelson Royal and Sam Houston got colored that night. But anyway, Wahoo got like the blade stuck in his head and couldn't stop bleeding. And he had to pop it out like it was a zit. And the commissioner, J.J. Benz, saw it.
Just freaked out.
Apparently, he flipped out. And he was like, no more of this shit the rest of the night. But,
Yep.
But then, of course, in the WWF show 2 weeks later, there was blood. So everyone kind of thought there was always something, like maybe Benz was in cahoots with McMahon or something. But, Wahoo got the blade stuck in his head from his strap match with Jimmy Garvin or something. And I can believe it, too. Christ almighty. Right. Wahoo.
Yeah, he
buried with chunks of
blade. He loved to get color.
You're not kidding. I ended up getting Wahoo's blood on my dad's sports jacket one night.
Yeah, that's got to be awkward.
I didn't know who I was more afraid of, taking my jacket back to my dad or Wahoo. So I quickly took the jacket to the cleaners. Looking back at it now, I wish I would have just paid for the jacket and kept it.
Yeah
Wahoo's blood was all over it.
All right. Really? Well, I think this is where we're going to call a halt to the proceedings for this week.
Oh, okay.
At 1 hour, 39 minutes and 13 seconds.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
But there is something that I wanted to get to, and we're going to have to go over to YouTube for this, I think. Explaining what was going on with the WCW television title.
Okay.
So, if we can, let's see. I know this is going to be tricky. Over on YouTube, we can get the... if we go on YouTube and we look up on WCW Worldwide, October 17, 1992. Let me find it. Yeah, I know. People. October
17, 1992. Worldwide. Yes. Okay, I'm switching over to my phone, and I've still managed. I didn't know if I could or not. October 17, 1992.
Yep.
Worldwide.
Yep. Sorry, folks.
Oh, yes. Steiner thing.
Yes. Okay. So you're with me at least. Actually, October.
I forgot about that.
Well, that's why I'm here, kids. All right. Let me get to the start of this match, wherever it might be. I don't think it's that
soon. I'm just going to stop here. We're going to do this another time, you said?
Well, we're going to do the third hour of Halloween Havoc next week.
Okay, we've got a lot of referees coming out here, and I'm
Okay, so why don't I think we can start. I think on this episode of Worldwide, after we get to the break here.
Are we just going to the title match?
Well, yeah, we're just going to go to the. I don't think we're going to do the whole thing here.
Because
Skittles commercial. Hold on. Okay, there we go. Okay, 25:26, I think. Yeah, that could be the starting point. Okay, here we go. Yeah, 25:26, right in the. Yeah, and the 1 second of the Skittles commercial. There we go. All right.
Let me know. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, everybody, once you're there, we're hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, bonus coverage here. This is what happened to the TV title. It was originally supposed to be, they were originally going to do Steamboat and Austin for the TV title at Halloween Havoc, but the Rick Steiner was hurt. The Steiner brothers' contracts were coming up. Bill Watts had an idea.
He did.
Yes. Now here's Scott Steiner.
An idea before it's time.
Yes. Yeah, just a few, yeah. So here's Scott Steiner in for a shot at the TV title against Ricky Steamboat here on Worldwide.
He's a family man.
Yes, he is. Ricky Steamboat the Dragon.
Oh no, they're still using the Dragon music. They
no, they haven't. They haven't. That's right. They haven't done the. They haven't debuted the Slam Jam yet.
What a great album that is. If you love campy I do. What a classic that is.
Mm-hmm.
I like that version of the TV belt. That was they didn't use it a lot, but.
Yes, Ricky Steamboat, very popular.
Outstanding talent.
Yes.
Pee Wee Anderson's your referee.
Of course. Okay, here we go. All right, ding, ding, we're underway.
We got a baby face battle here.
Yep.
I know what happens, but I don't remember much about the match.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so yeah, this is Columbus, Georgia at the Municipal Auditorium, taped September
29,
1992.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay.
Steiner's already a horse.
Right. Oh, he is, yes. He is getting bigger.
He built exactly like his nephew. Have you seen that kid? I haven't seen him work
yet. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Seen his pictures. Looks like he's wearing Scott's old singlet.
Yep. He does look like a cross between both the brothers there. Let's see. Okay, so also on this episode of Worldwide, Eric Watts defeating Mark Canterbury and the Barbarian defeating Joey Maggs. Okay.
It's not a bad episode.
No, it's not.
Old Joey Maggs, Baltimore guy. He was decent hand.
He was. Mm-hmm.
Just shooting him off.
Yep.
Leap by.
There we go. Okay. Let's see. All right, so. Apparently, even though Scott Steiner had told Bill Watts that he did not want to be a singles wrestler and did not want to feud with his brother, after this match, Watts came to him with the idea, just trying to re-sign him, that, you're going to keep the TV title, you're going to go heel, and you're going to feud with your brother. And Scott Steiner, the Steiners would not re-sign with WCW. Bill Watts tried to get him to TV so he could drop the title back to Steamboat. Scott Steiner came up with a doctor's note saying that he had suffered a deep thigh bruise during a previous match against Steve Austin and would be unable to make the tapings. And that was it.
And I think Arnold the Dog became like the babysitter of the title belt for a while, and then Steiners went and worked for Vince for a year or so. Which
yep, they did.
Which
they did not enjoy, apparently.
No, they didn't. No, it was a totally wrong place and time for them to be there.
Yeah,
they were very impact style of wrestlers. You know, very offensive minded. They didn't mix well with Vince.
Yeah, Yep.
I mean, later on when he was Big Papa Pump, when he embraced the idea of being a heel and all that kind of stuff, I think he was relatively entertaining until they cut his dick off with that horrible match with Triple H.
Well, that was sort of a problem. as if anybody couldn't figure out that having them go 25 minutes was a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, Triple H, I think, was always that mindset that
a
long match, a good match has to be a long match, and that's not at all.
And a long
true.
Match has to be a tedious match.
Yeah.
Hunter's a guy, another guy who had to change his style after the quad tear.
Once you're injured and you do have to start to find different ways to continue to go.
And I guarantee if I tore a quad, I'd be looking for a different style.
Yeah, no sh.
Yeah. All right. And let's see. We're not going. Yes. At some point, we'll mention how many times I have to bleep this during the episode, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I always forget, but I've been pretty tame. I haven't really done a lot. I don't think I've used the F word yet tonight.
No, let's not try that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's save that for a special occasion.
Conscientious. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Randy Anderson, things are starting to get a little rough here now.
Things are getting a little heated. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, are you okay?
Hey, what are you doing on the rope there?
You know why we're not doing clean break? How like, yeah.
Get out of my face. Get out of my face.
Get out of my face, buddy.
I could eat you alive, steamer.
All right, what are you doing with this guy? Oh, the pie face.
Oh, there wicked. We go. Nice chops. Nice.
All right, the fans are waking up here. All right. Hey. All right. Yeah, but Shivani started off this match talking about how over Ricky Steamboat was the babyface. He was really over pretty much always in WCW.
Oh, yeah. He was a WCW guy. I mean, he had a good run with Vince, but his second run with Vince was not as good.
Nearly as good. Yeah.
Well, it's like, as cool as the costume looked, he just didn't look comfortable in it.
Yeah.
And, but, you know,
because he wasn't.
It's hard to embrace guys after you know, even like the most casual fan knows that they've been remarkably successful pretty much as themselves. To try to make them strictly into a gimmick, you're always going to have a hard time with that. I think Harley Race was another one. They made him the king, but it's like, no one, you couldn't really buy into it 100%. No. It's like, come on.
You could buy into Harley Race, but you know.
You could buy into Harley Race very easily, but King Harley Race was a little hokey.
Yeah. Although, you know, I mean, it wasn't the worst thing they could have given him because they got, Lord knows we saw enough of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying. Yeah, I mean, I like Harley regardless, but you know, you could only dress up a guy so far. Nice arm drag, best arm drags in wrestling ever.
Yeah, you couldn't turn Ric Flair into Spartacus, just for an example.
Even though they tried,
even though they wanted to. Yep, they did. All right.
Remember that slick back hair look? That was the end fad during that time. They tried on Flair.
And yep.
Looked like George Washington.
Well, yeah, that was a problem. That's not what you're going for generally in your champion.
Yeah, big kickoff.
There we go.
Yep. Another drop toe.
Oh, we're perfectly in sync on this one. Oh, geez. All right, get working the arm. Okay.
You had to be pretty bad to have a bad match with Rick Steamboat.
Yeah, I know.
Stylistically, these guys are night and day. But Steiner was obviously a very impact-driven offensive guy. Steamboat, what I would say, was more of a defensive wrestler. Right. I mean, the stuff that he did, like the arm drags and the chops and stuff, kind of...
Yep.
I mean, it's offense, but it's defensive offense, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. I mean, back in the fall of 91, I mean, after they had lost Flair, the smartest thing they did was bringing Steamboat back.
That was a great angle they did, too, with him and Dustin and
yep.
in the Arn and Larry, and he was a credible wrestler. I mean, he was incredible. He was an incredible wrestler.
Yes.
You know, but they, I mean, they had a lot of talent there who was good, but was misused mm-hmm. or stale, and you know.
But Steamboat, you know, but Steamboat, they figured out how to use until yes. I mean until Hogan got there, and by that point, you know, Steamboat's career was done anyway.
Yeah, and you know what's remarkable is all the years that he sat on the shelf. And then he came back for WrestleMania that year and that weirdo angle that they did with Chris Jericho, which I've never really understood that angle. But Steamboat came back tremendous.
Yeah.
He was just, everyone was like, holy It's like,
yeah, I know.
They found a guy to do the work because Piper and Snuka couldn't do anything. They had nothing left. But your Steamboat is skinning the cat.
I mean, and this was after Gabe. He'd been working with Ring of Honor, and Gabe Sapolsky had been trying to bring him out of retirement for like almost a year so he could do Steamboat versus CM Punk because they set that, because they had that thing set up. And yeah, you know, no, not gonna do it, not gonna do it. Oh, well, there's enough money involved.
Well, you know, the check just suddenly got really big.
Yeah, and, yeah, there you go.
And then like
that was it.
Like 2 or 3 months after that, I'm attending a house show. Oh, over the top.
Over the top. Yeah.
Or I'm attending a house show in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and mm-hmm. like the third match comes out, and it's Steamboat against Drew McIntyre. I'm shitting you.
I know.
And he was great. Yeah. He was still great, you know, and McIntyre was a good talent. That was like when they were trying to bring him up and make him, but I don't think they had gotten him on TV.
McIntyre, you know, he always had that, you know, he had the ability and the potential always.
He's always had a look, but I think that they just don't know. They just don't know how to book guys anymore.
They don't. Well, and that's another story.
Well, he just snagged the title.
That's it. That was it, yeah. Poor sportsmanship, but yeah, Steamboat, you know, got back in the ring, and Steiner immediately pins him.
Just questionable enough,
right?
Obviously, they were just starting the angle. You know, they're just starting the angle.
And whether the fans are pro Steiner or anti Steiner, they're all, you know, everybody woke up. Everybody, you know.
You're just starting this angle. There's enough questions. Like, did he do anything illegal? Well, not really so much. In a lot of ways, this Steiner thing here resembled the way that Watts had used Bob Roop.
Right.
Where in earlier incarnations, who was a legitimate Olympian wrestler. You know, you build into the more heat with the guy. You start out with some questionable stuff and some things that you could banter about. And then later on, he becomes more of a full-fledged heel.
Okay, yeah. Well, promotional considerations paid for by the following. Yeah, let's get that. Okay, but that's
hot pockets and
right, whatever. that's the episode, kids. Let's see. Okay, so I'm on Twitter at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is on Twitter at Jim Valley, and you know Jim's been Jim's on dialysis, but he has done ring announcing a couple times for Defy up in Washington, so God bless him. And Shane is not on Twitter, but he is on YouTube. Tell people how to get your show.
I am on YouTube on a little channel known as The Independent Rewind, where we not only do great matches from the past of the independents throughout the Mid-Atlantic and in some cases throughout the country and the world, but we also, my friends over there, Steven Sarks and Frosty Rob Wells, poke a little fun at some of the bad stuff in pro wrestling as well on a weekly
basis. There's bad stuff in pro wrestling?
Yes, believe it or not, yes.
Oh, and
we've also recently started a non-wrestling related show called 1995 Plus Shipping and Handling, which is basically just me doing commentary and kind of tongue-in-cheek announcing of things like different food eating competitions and monster truck races and truck pulls and just having a good time.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty much what most people are doing in podcasting and YouTube channels. It's just having a good time. So if you ever want to check it out, it's the Independent Rewind, and become a subscriber. We're trying to march towards 1,000 subscribers, and you know we're a little short of that, but we're building. It's really built up a lot in the last year, and especially with the programming that I've been providing, seems like it has helped these guys out a lot. And they're pretty entertaining in their own right. So it's a lot of fun. It's on every week. So check us out 3 different times.
Okay. That's great, Shane. And looking forward to that. By the way, and you can help us out here on Wayback Playback. Leave a 5, 6, or 7 star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you are getting this podcast from. It really doesn't matter. Facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast. We'll probably post something there one of these years. And if you'd like to know more about Dustin Rhodes, Barry Windham, Steve Dr. Death Williams, the other Steve Williams, Steve Austin, or Scott Steiner, please visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go download your local library app because they're all in books. I don't remember if I gave Shane the line, but...
Join us next week. Same Wayback time, same playback channel.
And think of what show you want to watch next after Halloween Havoc 92 is done, because next week we will have a Coal Miner's Glove match. Next week we will have an NWA title match and a WCW title match, and Shane will be here. What more could you possibly want, folks?
Well, yep, that question will linger for a week.
Yes, it will. But until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.